Fritz is no slouch of a range. But for the most part, such stealing seems to have been confined to Clear Creek, Cottonwood, and the Verde. Whatever or whoever this thief is, he comes in the daytime, when there's nobody home, and he takes some fool thing or other, leaving articles of real value. This bird sure is a slick one, whoever he is. Last year he stole 2 dolls we know of.
Dolls?
Yes, dolls. Stimson over on Clear Creek has a little girl. She lost a doll. Mrs. Stimson said the kid was sure she never lost it, that it was took.
Well, they got her another doll, and by golly, not long after, when the family was all away, the doll disappeared too.
Now I tax myself, I can remember the darndest lot of things, the loss of which was laid on that locoed thief. Comb and brush, silver buckles, beads, handkerchiefs, socks, cough medicine, face powder, lace curtains, towels, mirror, bell, clock. Oh, Lord, there's no end to them. Yet nothing worth much, so to speak. Everybody just laughs and says, well, by gosh, the camp robber has been here.
Stimson pushed back his papers on the desk and looked up at the writer with a keen interest.
So your name's Wingfield?
Yes, sir,
was the quiet reply.
The rancher surveyed the lithe figure, dusty and worn, the dark, lined face and its piercing eyes, with appreciation of the strong impression they gave.
Where have you been riding? Stimson asked.
I rode for Stillwell during the spring roundup, but he didn't need me longer. I got on at Brandon's, lasted only 1 payday. Next got a job at Hall's, couldn't stay there, then Randall's. And, as I told you, I've been riding a grub line since.
Wingfield, tell me just why you couldn't hold a job, asked Stimson.
It was my fault, sir.
You don't look like a drinking man.
Well, I hit the bottle pretty stiff some years ago, just after, but I tapered off, and lately I haven't drank at all.
Because you were broke?
No, I've a little money left. I just got sick of it.
I can understand that. Now, if you want to work for me, come clean about this trouble you've been having. Tell me why a man of your evident intelligence and ability can't hang on here.
Wingfield looked out of the window, across the summer range, where the heat veils were rising. His face twitched. It was somber and sad. And when he turned again, Stimson saw that the dark lightning of his eyes had dimmed.
Seems, sir, that I can't stay anywhere long. I've been restless, and I reckon I'm irritable. Can't make friends. I don't care about anything. But I realize now that I've got to correct that. And I promise you, if you'll take me on, I'll try to overcome it.
I'll take you on, Wingfield.
Thanks for your confidence. I appreciate it. I'd like to know more, though. What happened to such a fine fellow as you that you don't care for anything? Some years ago, I lost my wife, and it knocked me out, said Wingfield.
Uh-huh. Too bad. I didn't take you for a married man. How old are you, Wingfield?
I'm 29.
Well, that surprises me. You look older. All right, Wingfield, you're on. And let us hope to your advantage as well as mine. Report to Neff and ask for quarters. By yourself, if you prefer. Later today, we can talk wages and what this particular job is.
That deal was consummated in July. Wingfield made a valiant effort to prove worthy of the opportunities Stimson had placed in his way, and he succeeded so far as the work was concerned. He overcame much to stick to that job, but he could not correct his taciturn habit, his aloofness, and sharpness of tongue when he did speak. Naturally, he had not made friends with Stimson's foreman, Neff. Signs were not wanting, however, that some of the riders looked favorably upon him. He had even been asked to accompany them to town this Saturday night, which